KPBS On Demand is supported by ACLU of San Diego and Imperial Counties. The work of the ACLU is about closing the gap between the America that was promised and the America that is. Learn more at www.aclu-sdic.org.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Monday, April 20th. We'll break down a crowded field of San Diego City Council candidates. More on that next, but first, the headlines. Unemployment is slightly down across the county. February's unemployment rate sit at 4.5%, down from January's 4.7%. The unemployment rate in the county is also lower than the statewide rate, which was 5.5% for February. In the county, the largest month-over-month gains were in professional and business services, which saw more than 2,200 jobs added, and leisure and hospitality seeing an increase of 2,000 jobs. The stage is officially set for Snapdragon Stadium to play host to two international soccer matches ahead of the World Cup. The matches are called international friendlies. Those are exhibition matches used to prep for tournaments. Switzerland versus Australia is set for June 6, while Colombia versus Jordan takes place on June 7. San Diego will also serve as home base for both the Switzerland and New Zealand clubs during the World Cup. Top Gun 3 is officially in the works. That's according to reporting from the LA Times. The film will serve as a sequel to Top Gun Maverick and reunites actor Tom Cruise with producer Jerry Bruckheimer. Both Top Gun and Top Gun Maverick feature multiple iconic San Diego sites, like Naval Air Station North Island and Fort Rosecrans National Cemetery. The original film features a local favorite, the historic 1887 Victorian cottage, more affectionately known as the Top Gun House. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhau Plumbing, Heating, and Air Flood and Restoration Services. Family-owned and operated for over 46 years, Bilhau has been serving San Diego homeowners with home services since 1980. Bilhau's full-service team offers heating and air solutions along with dedicated flood and restoration services and an expert plumbing team. Their trained professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to respond to both routine needs and unexpected emergencies. Bilhau is committed to providing excellent communication, transparent pricing, and quality workmanship on every job. Appointments can be scheduled by phone, online, or through live chat at their website. Call 1-800-BILHOW or visit bilhow.com, because we know how.
California's primary election is weeks away, and in San Diego, 4 seats on the city council will be on ballots. Debbie Cruz spoke with Metro reporter Andrew Bowen about the crowded field of candidates.
Andrew, let's start with City Council District 2. Tell us where it is and who's running.
District 2 includes Claremont, Midway, Ocean Beach, and Point Loma, and this is an open seat since the incumbent Jennifer Campbell is termed out. And with 7 candidates, it is the most crowded primary in San Diego. I'll start with Nicole Crosby. She is a deputy city attorney, so she works at the city and says she knows how to change it for the better. She's racked up the most endorsements by far, including several unions and the County Democratic Party. Josh Coyne also has several high-profile endorsements. He's a former city council staffer. He currently works for the Downtown San Diego Partnership, and he is positioning himself as the most pro-housing candidate, somebody who will support more opportunities to build homes in an effort to lower prices. Richard Bailey is the former Coronado mayor, and he moved to District 2 recently. He is actually a former Republican who re-registered as an independent in February. He has some name recognition, a pretty big following on social media, but if history is a guide, Bailey probably faces some tough odds, and that's because in 2018, a Republican incumbent in District 2 lost by almost 16 points after her opponent tied her to President Trump. So I think it'll be interesting to watch how the partisan dynamics play out here. The other candidates in the race are Mandy Havlick, Jacob Mitchell, Mike Rickey, and Paul Suppa. Havlick is a community activist who ran in this district 4 years ago, and the others are all newcomers to politics. And in such a crowded field, it can be really tough for anyone to stand out.
Districts 4 and 6 both have incumbents on the ballot. Who's running there?
District 4 covers most of southeast San Diego, and City Councilmember Henry Foster III is seeking another term. He has a big campaign presence, a good amount of money to spend getting his message out to voters, but he does have two challengers, Martha Abraham, who is a nurse, and she got involved in community organizing in response to some large housing developments in District 4, and the third candidate is Johnny Lee Dang. Now, District 6 covers Kearny Mesa, Mira Mesa, University City, and incumbent Kent Lee is seeking another term. He's only got one opponent, Mark Powell, who's a realtor. And, you know, barring any massive write-in campaign, both candidates here are virtually guaranteed to advance to a runoff in November.
And that leaves Council District 8. Where is this district, and what do you know about the candidates?
District 8 covers Logan Heights, San Ysidro, and Otay Mesa, and the incumbent Vivian Moreno is termed out. There are four candidates running to replace her. One of them is her chief of staff, Gerardo Ramirez, and he has her endorsement and the endorsement of city employee unions. Venus Molina is actually chief of staff for another city council district, but has deep roots in District 8. She grew up there, and she's been involved with many community-based nonprofits. Rafael Perez is a realtor and an educator, and he's been involved in community groups as well and has been very active at the state level getting laws passed to build more starter homes. And then finally, Antonio Martinez is a familiar face for many in the district. He's on the San Ysidro School Board, and he's a former staffer for Congressman Juan Vargas. He ran in this district in 2018 and 2022. So District 8 is another pretty crowded primary, and all of the candidates have some degree of political experience and name recognition, so hard to say who's got the edge there.
Thanks for your reporting, Andrew.
Thank you, Debbie.
For more coverage of the primary on June 2nd, go to kpbs.org/elections. Middle school students in the Coronado Unified School District will have no access to their cell phones during the school day next year. Education reporter Katie Anastas says the new policy comes after more than a year of discussion among district leaders, staff, and parents.
Coronado Middle School students can now use their phones during recess and lunch. Next year, that will change. Students will have to put their phones, smartwatches, and other devices in a lockable bag for the entire day.
The middle school is ready for a significant shift and the introduction and use of pouches.
Superintendent Carl Mueller says the school's principal recognizes the need. At last month's school board meeting, Principal Brooke Villar said students' phone use during breaks is a problem.
I kind of envisioned, oh, I'm going to text mom, right? It's not just texting mom. It's social media. It is breaking rules such as no videoing.
Mueller says the pouches are a first step in examining the role technology plays at the district schools. Katie Anastas, KPBS News.
Speaking of schools, a school in southeastern San Diego went without water or had their water supply disrupted six times in the past 2 months. District leaders promised fixes would come with new taxes. For this week's edition of Why It Matters, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis reports, they're now proposing another tax increase.
School district leaders have been promising for years to use bond measures and tax increases to fix the water issues at the School for Creative and Performing Arts in Paradise Hills. And voters in the San Diego Unified School District have approved nearly $10 billion in tax increases for construction costs since 2012. The school, commonly called SCPA, is well known and attracts kids from all parts of San Diego. The tax increases passed, but the school's plumbing wasn't fixed. In February and March this year, the district fully or partially shut off water at the campus six times. Now, the district says a fix is coming when it does a full modernization of SCPA's campus, but not until 2028 or 2029. And now, a board member has confirmed to Voice San Diego that, quote, odds are high that they will be seeking yet another bond and tax increase on November's ballot. Board member Richard Barrera told us that ongoing plumbing problems at SCPA are the kind of thing that will make voters want to approve another bond. For Voice of San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
The San Diego Padres may soon be under new ownership. The Wall Street Journal is reporting that a deal has been reached for equity billionaire Jose E. Feliciano and his wife Kwanzaa Jones to buy the team for $3.9 billion. That would shatter the current record of $2.4 billion the Mets sold for in 2020. Longtime KGTV sports director Ben Higgins also hosts a radio sports talk show. He says late owner Peter Seidler left the team in good shape for a future owner.
$3.9 billion. That's what the Journal says. Equity billionaire Jose E. Feliciano and his wife Kwanzaa Jones are ready to pay for the Padres. If that figure is correct, it would shatter the previous record of almost $2.5 billion paid for the Mets in 2020. Longtime KGTV sports director Ben Higgins, who also hosts the Ben and Wood Show on 97.3 The Fan, says late owner Peter Seidler spent big bucks to get the team to the point where they had the second best record in the National League West last year.
They accomplished that thanks to Peter Seidler creating more excitement in the team by paying for exciting players like Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., and Xander Bogaerts, which has led to an unprecedented run of the team making the playoffs in four of the last 6 years, none of which had ever happened in the previous 50 years of Padres franchise history.
The Padres said they don't have any comment at this time. The Journal says the sale will probably be announced next week. It would have to be approved by 75% of other major league team owners. John Carroll, KPBS News.
The Padres said they don't have any comment at this time. The Journal says the sale will probably be announced this week. It will have to be approved by 75% of other major league team owners. San Diego leaders are celebrating long-awaited trail improvements in Ruffin Canyon. Reporter Katie Heisen says they provide a new connection between neighborhoods.
As you can see, the beautiful monkey flower and lemonade berry and California sage.
Kevin Johnston lives nearby. He's been pushing for these improvements for almost 2 decades.
Oh, my God. Sometimes I thought it would never happen, you know, but this is just one of the greatest days I've had in years. I just couldn't be more excited.
Before the upgrades, it was nearly impossible for hikers to safely cross between Sierra Mesa and Mission Valley. Workers relocated parts of the trail, added 3-foot bridges, and restored a portion of the wetlands.
We're super excited about what this means, not only for encouraging people to protect and preserve our canyon, but also connecting our two communities.
It also means Sarah Masons can now hike to Costco for hot dogs. Katie Heisen, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I want to thank you for that. Have a great day.
KPBS On Demand is supported by Bilhaus Plumbing, Heating and Air, Flood and Restoration Services. Family owned and operated for over 46 years, Bilhaus has been serving San Diego homeowners with home services since 1980. Bilhaus' full service team offers heating and air solutions along with dedicated flood and restoration services and an expert plumbing team. Their trained professionals are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, to respond to both routine needs and unexpected emergencies. Bill Howe is committed to providing excellent communication, transparent pricing, and quality workmanship on every job. Appointments can be scheduled by phone, online, or through live chat at their website. Call 1-800-BILL-HOWE or visit billhowe.com. Because we know how.